Oh shit, I probably could use the microphone. Well, I got a new mic. Let's start over. Yo, Bipolar Trucker, coming to you from the goddamn road. Out here getting it, man. So, it's Friday. I got a job and I got shit to do. So, anyway, I guess I had some good response from my last story that I told. People seem to like that shit. I don't think that I've lived any sort of extra special life. But I put myself in a lot of bad situations and I've seen a lot of crazy shit. Been a part of some crazy shit. But, man, earlier today, I ran into a guy that was drunk at like 7 a.m. at the fucking gas station. And he just was raping my ear with total bullshit. And it made me think about how fucking retarded people can get when they get fucked up. Which made me think about this this night back in like, I guess it was, it was pre-9/11, so it was probably 2000, okay? I was dating this chick. She was a stripper. She ate way too many fucking Xanax all the time. And, I mean, she had problems. To be quite honest with you, she became a heroin addict, and she passed away about 2 years ago. R.I.P. Katie. She wasn't a terrible person, but she had terrible ideas. And she definitely did some terrible shit in the name of getting and doing drugs. But this one night in particular, okay, I went to pick a couple of my friends up. I used to have a Mustang GT convertible. It was a 91. It was candy painted. The Dayton wire wheels on there. Hydraulics. And it was crazy. It's a young guy's car, you know. I mean, it was totally useless. You know, you couldn't do anything crazy with the hydraulics because the car was too heavy. And you break shit. And you couldn't do anything crazy with the car because of the hydraulic system. But it, you know, all in all, it was a cool-ass fucking car. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it, man. But I go to this little party, pick a couple of my buddies up, and this girl. And we're in this spot. And I decided to drink a beer, which I ended up spilling a bunch of it on my brand new fucking polo hoodie. And that'll come into play later, because I ended up not drinking the beer other than that one drink that I spilled down my face and onto my hoodie. And so this chick, I watched her buy 5 Xanax bars from a guy, take all 5 of them and pop them in her mouth and swallow them with one drink of that beer. And she's like, come on, let's roll. So we go out getting the Mustang. It was a Friday night. We were going to go hit some clubs and shit. And I wasn't really a drinker at that time. I've been a drinker before in my life, but I'm not a drinker now, and I wasn't really a drinker at that time. I just like smoking weed. That being said, I was probably high as fuck. And I got two drunk ass dudes in my back seat acting like fucking idiots, being silly, you know. And we turn out onto this road. It's called Stop 11. They named a lot of the roads in Indianapolis out of, they called them Stop 8, Stop 10, Stop 12. Obviously, that had to do with the rail stops, the railroad stops, okay? Anyways, we pull out on the Stop 11. And I no sooner than get the wheel straight, and this cop does a U-turn, gets right behind me. And I know, I'm like, this dude's going to pull me over. But I didn't have any drugs or anything on me. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't worried about it at all. They end up, two or three more cops end up coming. Both of the dudes that are in the back seat, they're my homeboys, but they're both fucking felons. And they've had some serious charges put on them in the past. Not all of them stuck, but, you know, they were known around the south side of Indianapolis as being, you know, criminals. And they end up pulling us all out of the car and separating us. And they're asking us all about our alcohol consumption and shit, you know. So anyways, I'm talking to this cop, and I'm at the back of my car. This cop's looking at me. And another cop goes over and talks to that Katie girl. She was actually sitting on the front of my car, which was pissing me off, because she was sitting on my car. But anyway, they said, I guess they talked to her for a minute. And the cop that talked to her comes back over, and they talk to me. And I'm like, dude, I literally took a drink of beer and it spilled on my sweatshirt and I set it down. And they're like, yeah, but you smell like alcohol. And I was like, dude, get your little breathalyzer thing out, dude. I'll blow into it. I was like, seriously. They're like, well, you know, we don't feel comfortable with having you drive. Well, they end up going and getting the breathalyzer thing, man. And I blow a .00, okay? And this cop says, I don't feel comfortable letting you drive. I feel like you drank alcohol, but it was a short period of time and it hasn't gotten into your bloodstream yet. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he says, I'll tell you what, I want you to let that girl drive. And when she said that, now these two cops are facing me, the other cops are talking to my homeboys. None of them are facing the girl sitting on the hood of the car. No sooner than he says that, this bitch falls right off the front of the fucking car. I seen her head nod off, and she just falls right off the fucking front of the car, right? And within like a tenth of a second, she was right back up on that bitch. And I was like, you want Katie to drive? And he was like, she's the only one that hasn't been drinking. And I was like, dude, come on, man. I don't even know if she can drive a stick, man. And the cops are like, hey, Katie, can you drive a manual transmission? And she was like, yeah, I can drive one. So they're like, look, we're taking your one buddy to jail because he's got a warrant. The other guy's free to go with you. You guys are free to leave, but it would make me feel better if you let Katie drive. And I was like, fuck. Because, dude, I watched her take all them Xanax, you know what I'm saying? And then I watched the Xanax hit her and her fucking straight up fall asleep and fall face first off the fucking front of the car. And it was really hard not to laugh, right? So anyway, we get back in the car. I get in the passenger seat. Katie gets in the driver's seat. My buddy jumps back in the back. Other dude's fucking, we leave him over there because He's getting ready to go to jail. He's got a warrant. That ain't my problem. So, you know, what are we going to do? We just left. Well, we pull off from the shoulder, pull up to the stoplight, which is, I don't know, literally like 30 feet probably in front of where we were, right? The light turns green, and this bitch dumps the fucking clutch in the middle of the intersection and does a 180, and now we're turned around facing the cops. The fucking headlights right at them. The traffic that was behind us is all stopped now. We're facing these people, and he comes running over there, and he said, on second thought, maybe you should drive, bro. And I was like, hey, yeah, for real, dude. I'll never forget that shit. I mean, that bitch just straight did a donut in the middle of the fucking intersection because she never drove a fast car before and she dumped the clutch. I mean, it's a lot different driving a fucking Honda Civic than it is driving a Mustang. It's got a tight-ass clutch and her legs probably not that strong, even though she did wear 6-inch heels every day and dance in them motherfuckers. So, yeah, that's probably not true. She probably has strong legs, but you just ain't used to that stiff fucking clutch. But anyway, man, I will never forget that shit. Like, that bitch went face first off the front of the car. I mean, and nobody saw it. Nobody saw it but me. And here they want me to let her drive my fucking favorite item that I owned or ever owned at the time. You know what? I washed that car. I sprayed that car off at the spray wash every fucking day that I drove it. I didn't drive it every day because I wouldn't drive it in the snow. I wouldn't drive it in the rain, you know. But every time I drove it, before it went back to my house, it got sprayed off and wiped down. And it got fully fucking detailed every few months, you know. And here this bitch is fucking dumping the clutch in the middle of the intersection. And it was amazing. That, I mean, I don't know how many times I've dealt with the cops. And something just fucking ridiculous happened. Yet still, they pretty much always, with the exception of twice, always let me go. I don't know if it's my short haircut. I don't know if it's because my dad was a police officer in that city. I mean, I know that when I was in the city of Indianapolis, dealing with the Indianapolis Police Department, I could pull my dick out at Steak and Shake. And they weren't going to take me to jail. My dad, by the time I was driving and shit, my dad was a sergeant, and he was in charge of homicide. So most of the people that are going to be pulling you over or anything, you know, basically he's their superior. And nobody wants to call their boss and tell them that their son pulled their stick out at fucking Steak and Shake. Nobody wants to make that phone call and say that they had to arrest him. So, you know, in a lot of ways, one of the reasons why I didn't end up getting locked up and getting in that revolving door when I was young, I think it's because my dad was a cop. But at the same time, I got other buddies just like me that would, you know, they'd get pulled over and they could have everything wrong, and the cops had let them roll. One time, I bought this pickup truck, and I don't know why, but I completely spaced registering it and getting tags for like. I mean, I drove around with that paper plate on for like 5 months. Seriously, like, I'd see it and go, fuck, I got to go get them plates. And I was so irresponsible that I would never do it. You know, here I am out here all the time with fucking felonies in my car. And I'm riding around with fucking expired paper tags. It's so stupid. But this one time I got pulled over, I wasn't in my county, right? And this cop informed me that he was going to have to tow it and I could come back and get the car. This little town car called Carmel, Indiana. He said I could come back and get the car from impound. I just had to go get the registration and the plates and shit and come back over there and they would release it to me and all that, right? But the whole time we're having this conversation, I'm knowing that there's a quarter pound of weed in the glove box because that's what I was going up there for, to get that weed. And it was vacuum sealed and shit, so, the car didn't stink or anything, and I didn't smoke weed in it. But I bought a quarter pound of marijuana and was planning on driving it back in a pickup truck with fucking expired paper tags and no insurance. I never insured it. I bought the truck and never insured it. It had insurance. All I had to do was call and add it to my fucking policy. I don't know what it cost. $100? I don't know what it would cost. You know, when I got pulled over with that weed that they didn't fucking find, when I got pulled over with that shit and didn't have those tags, I had like $6,000 in my pocket. You know, it wasn't money. I was just irresponsible. But anyways, the whole time they call the tow truck and shit, the guys come out there, I'm waiting on somebody to come pick me up. We didn't have cell phones back then, man, so I had to walk across the street to this gas station and use a payphone. And I didn't live very close. None of my homeboys lived very close. So with the weed being in the glove box, I thought it'd be not a terrible plan to call my mother and have her come get me. You know, I don't like doing that to my mom, but you know, I just wanted to get the fuck out of there, and I knew I could count on my mother. You know, I didn't want to be waiting around for nobody. But it took my mom like 45 minutes to get there, and it took the tow truck, I'm gonna say, an hour. So my mom pulls up, right, and this cop let me sit in my truck, at least until my mom got there or the tow truck, you know, at least, you know, so it was raining a little and shit. Anyway, so he let me back in the truck, right? So thing is, he was right there where he could see me, and I just couldn't find a way that I could get in that glove box and pull this fucking quarter pound out without him seeing me. I was terrified. Like, I open it and he'd see it, you know? So I was like, all right, man, he's got to have some discipline. Just leave it alone. Don't touch nothing. Just sit here and mind your own fucking business, right? And so my mom gets there and they tow it to impound, I guess. And the next morning I get up and I go get the tags and put the insurance on it and shit, like I should have done way before that. And I went up there to the police impound and they let me go back there. I went, fucking paid them, showed them the tags, plates, whatever. They let me go back there and get my truck. They even gave me a screwdriver to put the plate on with. So I get in my truck, and this light bulb goes off on my head because I got away with it. So what do I do? I'll tell you what I do. I sit out there. I cut open that fucking quarter pound. and I roll a big fucking fat joint and start the truck up, fire that bitch up, and roll right past the cops, right past the fucking, right past the people that run the impound yard, right past God, Jesus, and everybody else, smoking this big fucking fat joint out of that bag of weed that was in the glove box the whole time. I cannot believe that they tow, that they get vehicles in their possession, right? That they tow vehicles and they don't search them. They don't look in them. I thought for sure they would look in it. I mean, the glove box. But they don't. I don't know if they're supposed to or not. What I know is that they definitely never opened that glove box. And if they did, thank you, Officer Friendly, for being the nicest cop that's ever lived. Hey, I think that's all I got for today. I appreciate y'all that's rocking with me. Feeling pretty good right now about my life. You know, I hope y'all are feeling good too. So until then, holler at your boy, Bipolar Trucker. Later.